from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Prabowo urged people to acknowledge and fix Indonesia's shortcomings. Indonesia and Russia kicked off first joint naval drills. I'm Nuka Kusumawati now with the news in details. President Prabowo Subianto urged the Indonesian people to acknowledge the country's shortcomings and address them. As reported by Antara News Agency, he said in Denpasar Bali on Sunday that the people must dare to confront the work that lies ahead and acknowledge things that are not right. President Prabowo also said that Indonesia is rich, however, the wealth it possesses has not been effectively or intelligently managed, which has led to many shortcomings. He highlighted the prevalence of corruptions and he determined to address it as vigorously as possible. According to President Prabowo, the spirit of change should not only focus on improving existing system but also on rectifying deficiency, while appreciating the achievement of previous leaders. Indonesia and Russia kicked off their first joint naval drills on Monday. The five-day drills, called the 2024 Oruda Joint Exercise, will take place in two phases at the naval base in Surabaya, East Java and the Java Sea. Earlier on Sunday, Russian ships has been called into port and were welcomed by an Indonesian military marching band ahead of the drills. Commander of the Indonesian Navy Surabaya Base, Rear Admiral Arya Delano, and Russian Ambassador to Indonesia, Sergei Tolchanov, are present during the ship's arrival. The Indonesian Navy said in a statement that Russia sent three corvette warships, a medium tanker ship, a helicopter, and a tugboat. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Navy deployed two warships and an anti-submarine helicopters. The Indonesian Navy Hospital ship KRI Dr. Wahidin Sudirohusodo 991 has arrived in Fiji as part of its goodwill mission during the second leg of its port visit to South Pacific nations. As reported by Antara from the Navy's statement received on Sunday, the ship arrived at North King's Wharf in Suva, Fiji on Saturday. Commander of the Navy's 2024 Pacific Port Visit Task Force, Colonel Arif Prasetyo Irbianto, said the Fiji mission includes humanitarian assistance and meetings with local officials. The Indonesian Dragon Boat Rowing Team won a gold medal in the ICF World Championship 2024 in Puerto Princesa, Philippines on Sunday. As reported by Antara, the Indonesian team secured a gold medal in the 200-meter events, which was won with a time of 50.59 seconds despite facing unfavorable track challenges. The Indonesian team also added to their medal collection with one silver in the 2,000-meter event and one bronze in the 500-meter event. The achievement repeated a similar achievement in the ICF World Cup 2024 in Yichang, China, the previous week, while ensuring that Indonesia qualified for the ICF World Games 2025 in Chengdu, China. At least 10 people died due to the eruption of Mount Lewo Tobi Laki-Laki in East Flores, East Nusa Tenggara on early Monday. In an interview with RRI, head of the Communication Information Office of East Flores Regency, Harry Lamawuran, said 8 of them have been evacuated, but a victim is still being evacuated. Hera explained that the victims died after being hit by volcanic rock materials from the mountain. Hera also said hard rock struck the victims, while some died due to landslide. Additionally, Hera reported that some residents had been evacuated to 3 designated safe locations in the villages of Lower Laga, Konga and Wokang. According to Hera, they had been providing regular updates to communities surrounding the mountain. However, the eruption happened suddenly. With the raised activity status of Mount Lewo Tobi Laki-Laki, the Indonesian Vulcanology and Geological Disaster Mitigation Agency has urged the surrounding community to refrain from activities within a safe radius of 7 kilometers. Let's move on to the international news, where a 3-person Chinese crew returned to Earth on early Monday after more than 6 months aboard the Tiangong space station. As reported by Xinhua, Yi Guangfu, Li Chong and Li Huangsu were all in good health after touching down in the return capsule of their Shenzhou spaceship at the Dongfeng landing site in Inner Mongolia. The 3 men had been traveled to Tiangong in late April. They were met on October 30 by 3 new astronauts, including the country's only woman spaceflight engineer, with whom they did a 5-day handover before making their return journey. China has ramped up plans to achieve its space dream under President Xi Jinping. Its space program was the 3rd to put humans in orbit and has also landed robotic rovers on Mars and the Moon. Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs had formally notified the United Nations of Israel's decision to sever ties with UNRWA, the United Nations agency supporting Palestinian refugees, after lawmakers voted to ban the organization. As reported by AFP, the ministry said in a statement that it was on the instruction of Israel's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Israel's Katz claimed that UNRWA is part of the problem in the Gaza Strip, Palestine, and not part of the solution. Last month, Israel's parliament, Knesset, approved a proposal to shut down UNRWA's operation in Israel and the occupied East Jerusalem. Despite condemnation from the international community, including its ally, the United States. According to experts, the agency ban would be a blow to humanitarian work in Gaza if implemented. But Katz dismissed the argument, saying only 13% of aid was being delivered into Gaza by UNRWA. Katz also claimed that Israel will continue to facilitate the entrance of humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Embassy in Caracas, along with the Tanting Club Venezuela, organized a batik exhibition with the theme 15 Years of Batik for the World, from Indonesia to Venezuela, at the Bellas Artes Museum in Caracas, Venezuela. The event was held to celebrate the 15th anniversary of batik recognition by UNESCO and to showcase the work of batik class participants organized by the Indonesian Embassy in Caracas. A total of 25 participants joined the batik class, held from October 2 to 24, 2024. The participants were given knowledge about what batik is, the process of making batik starting from painting, creating patterns, coloring, applying wax, until becoming a beautiful batik cloth. Indonesian Ambassador to Caracas, Imam Edi Mulyono, opened the batik exhibition, which was attended by ambassadors of friendly countries, government representatives, and the art community in Venezuela. Ambassador Imam Edi also honored the president of the Bellas Artes Museum, Zakaria Garcia, and batik teacher Angela Mata, who have always supported the Indonesian Embassy in Caracas in promoting Indonesian arts and culture. The Indonesian Embassy in Caracas also performed the Lenggang Nyai dance and served Indonesian food. In addition to the works of the class participant, the 17-day batik exhibition also displayed various batik works such as shawls, fabrics, bags, sarimbit cloth, fans, and kilting. It is hoped that this exhibition can be a means of strengthening bilateral relations, especially in the field of arts and culture between Indonesia and Venezuela.
We started in history with November 4, 1995, when Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin was shot dead by a protester named Yigal Amir, an ultra-nationalist who opposed the Oslo Accords. This incident occurred in Israel's King Square, Tel Aviv, shortly after Rabin attended a march in support of peace between Israel and Palestine. Yitzhak Rabin, who was then serving as Prime Minister, was known for his initiative in achieving peace with Palestine through the Oslo Accords. Therefore, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1994, along with Yasser Arafat and Shimon Peres. Let's move on to the November 4, 2008, when Barack Obama was elected the 44th President of the United States. The victory of Barack Obama from the Democratic Party made him the first African-American to hold the highest office in the country. He successfully defeated John McCain from the Republican Party in an election participated by millions of voters across the country. This election marked a change of leadership after the terms of President George W. Bush, who could not run again in accordance with the 22nd Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Obama's inauguration took place on January 20, 2009. We entered in history with November 4, 2010, when Qantas Flight 32 failed to take off. Qantas aircraft with flight number QFA32 on the London-Singapore-Sydney route experienced engine failure after taking off from Changi International Airport, Singapore. The disturbance caused the left engine component to be torn off and fall in Batam. The aircraft landed safely in Singapore after previously dumped fuel in the waters of Point Hospa before landing back in Singapore. The aircraft carrying 469 passengers successfully landed back at Changi Airport at 3:46 UTC or 10:46 Western Indonesia time. This failure is the first of its kind for the four-engine Airbus A380, the world's largest passenger aircraft.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia is on Ministry of Energy prepares blueprint for biodiesel development up to B100. Indonesia's Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Bahlil Lahadalia, has announced that the ministry is currently formulating a blueprint to advance biodiesel fuel, aiming to reach 100% biodiesel or B100 as a strategic measure to achieve national energy self-sufficiency. Following a press conference discussing proposed quick win programs at the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs in Jakarta on Sunday, Minister Bahlil Lahadalia highlighted that the ministry is gradually working on comprehensive plans for full-scale B100 implementation. According to a report from Antara, Indonesia's current mandated biodiesel product is B35, which is a blend containing 35% fatty acid methyl esters derived from the palm oil and 65% petroleum diesel. This mandate took effect on February 1, 2023. The government is also refining an advanced biodiesel product by increasing the palm oil component to 40%, widely known as B40. The minister confirmed that B40 is ready for use with mandatory implementation scheduled for January 1, 2025. Previously, Director General of New Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Enia Listiani Dewi, expressed readiness for the mandatory B40 rollout beginning in early January 2025. She explained that the Directorate General is preparing essential infrastructure, including ports, shipping, and logistics, to ensure smooth execution of the bioenergy mandate. She noted that these preparations are expected to be completed by December 2024. Beyond the focus on B40, the government is also examining the feasibility of a B50 biodiesel blend. Enia Listiana Dewi stated that technical studies on engine performance with B50 have already been conducted. She added that trials of B50 biodiesel have been led by the Minister of Agriculture, Andi Amran Sulaiman, in South Kalimantan. That was My Indonesia Today.
Sinar mataku.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Maluku, which has a very interesting culture in addition to beautiful tourism attractions. One of the cultures is a musical instrument called tahuri. The musical instrument in the form of a typical Maluku trumpet is made from shells. The type of shell used is the triton shell. This shell trumpet developed in the Maluku community who live in coastal areas. Tahuri musical instrument developed around 1958. At the time, the tahuri music instrument was played with a number of other traditional Maluku musical instruments in the form of an orchestra consisting of children and teenagers. In the past, the musical instrument was also used to call the community or traditional leaders to gather in the meeting hall or baileo. Interestingly, the number of blows of tahuri has its own meaning. For example, one blow of tahuri indicates that a resident has died. In addition, the conch trumpet also functions as a communication tool for danger signals, traditional ceremonies, calling ancestors, and calling the wind when sailing. The shells used in making tahuri come from various regions in Maluku, such as Saumlaki, Dobo, Aru Islands, and Banda. Listener, to make this typical musical instrument of Maluku, the shells are first washed until clean. After that, the shells are drilled. To get a certain tone, it depends on the size of the hole made and the size of the shell used. Small shells will produce high or loud tones, while large shells will produce low tones. The tones on this musical instrument are then matched with the help of other musical instruments such as flutes. Until now, tahuri is still played for almost all traditional ceremonies in Maluku. Therefore, for the people of Maluku, this traditional musical instrument has a sacred value. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Melobang batinku, deru gelombang yang berpacu tak surut tuh kenyangkan jiwaku. Seperti tanah yang kering, tandus dan tiada berair. Oh demi tanahku yang kering, sesungguhnya itulah hidupku. Dengarkanlah suaraku kepadamu. Aku berseru, datanglah kau sahabatku, nyanyikanlah lagu indah negerimu. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Hi listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is di Bali. Di Bali, which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a domestic tourist at Tita Empul Temple, a popular destination in Gianyar Regency, Bali. And Chris and the domestic tourist are reading a regulation of Tita Empul Temple. Then they talk about what should be done at the temple.
Supaya memakai
pakaian adat. Berarti saya harus memakai pakaian adat Bali.
Betul, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini.
Aduh, saya tidak punya.
Jangan khawatir, kita bisa meminjam kain adat yang disediakan.
After listening to the conversation, here are some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. Memakai, memakai, which means wear. Pakaian, pakaian, which means clothing. Pakaian adat. Pakaian adat, which means customary clothing. Bali, Bali, which means Bali. Area, area, which means area. Pura, pura, which means temple. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini, which means we should be wearing Balinese customary clothing around the temple. Jangan, jangan, which means don't. Khawatir, khawatir, which means worry. Jangan khawatir, jangan khawatir, which means don't worry. Kain, kain, which means clothes. In this conversation, you will hear the expression seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini, which means we should be wearing Balinese customary clothing around the temple. In the expression, there is the word seharusnya, which means should be. The word means that something is required to be done in an activity. This means wearing Balinese traditional clothing is required at Tirta Empul Temple. Another example. Let's listen to another use of the word seharusnya, which means should be. Seharusnya Anda menjaga kebersihan di area pura. Seharusnya Anda menjaga kebersihan di area pura, which means you should keep cleanliness around the temple. Seharusnya kita naik motor ke pura ini. Seharusnya kita naik motor ke pura ini, which means we should take a motorbike to the temple. Tirta Empul Temple is a temple for Balinese Hindu in Bali, which is also a favorite tourism destination. The temple is located in Gianyar Regency. At Tirta Empul Temple, visitors can join the Melukat, a purification ritual in a hallowed pool. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, here's another round of the conversation.
Supaya memakai pakaian adat. Berarti saya harus memakai pakaian adat Bali.
Betul, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini.
Aduh, saya tidak punya.
Jangan khawatir, kita bisa meminjam kain adat yang disediakan.
Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Indah Cintaku or My Beautiful Love by Ratu Aulia and Ehsan, accompanied by the music group Vivid. The song created by Alam Urba, which was released on March 23, 2012, is a popular song resulting from the collaboration of the late Vanessa Angel and Nicky Tirta. The success of the song is proven by the fact that it has become the soundtrack for soap operas and film television several times in Indonesia. Not only that, Vanessa Angel and Nicky Tirta even perform in Hong Kong. The song tells the story of a couple who are in love. Both of them always want to be close and loved every day. Well, listener, let's enjoy the keroncong version of Indah Cintaku by Ratu Aulia and Ehsan featuring Vivin. Happy listening!
Jatuh cinta karena timu cinta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.